From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Guy Nelson. The number of home foreclosures in Seattle has jumped markedly in recent months. That's according to new numbers from the firm Realty Track. The greater Seattle area saw a 71% spike between July and September compared to last year. That's the biggest increase of any major city in the country. It's a sign, apparently, that the nation's foreclosure crisis is worsening as homeowners face high unemployment, slow job growth, and uncertainty about home prices, and they're falling behind on their mortgage payments. John Talton is the economy columnist with the Seattle Times. He joins us to talk about this today. Hi, John.
Hi, Guy.
Thanks for being with us. Also, Tim Ellis is with us. He runs the Seattle Bubble blog and tracks statistics and trends for the real estate service Redfin. Hello, Tim.
Good afternoon.
John, let's start with you. We saw this big increase in foreclosures in Seattle, a 71% spike, but generally Seattle has been doing better than most other cities. So where do we stand in the foreclosure rates overall?
Well, we're way below Sunbelt areas. We did not overbuild in a big way. And I think Tim might agree with me that there is controversy over Realty Track's methodology, over the way they count. When you look at the actual foreclosure filings and the actual foreclosure outcomes, we've been up this year. We're down a little bit in September. We have a fairly large inventory of houses that are being held by banks. Nobody's buying them. Realty Track might be a canary in a coal mine for us in that the longer this recession goes on, the worse that it hurts us. But I would also say we're doing way better than a lot of places.
Tim Ellis, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Part of the reason I think that we're seeing kind of a large growth in Seattle relative to some other areas is that we're a little bit behind the cycle compared to them, but it's definitely not the actual absolute number of foreclosures compared to the local population is nowhere near as bad as it is in some parts of the country, although it's definitely still seems to be kind of getting worse around here lately.
Tim, why are we seeing this increase in foreclosures now then?
Well, part of it, you know, has to do with the fact that it's just the prolonged depression in home prices. The really large year-over-year spike that we see in the numbers from Realty Track, and also just if you run the numbers for yourself, is actually turns out is a slight artifact of a legislation that was passed last year that caused a lot of banks to rush to process foreclosures in the first half of the year before some new laws went into effect in June that made it a little harder for them to process foreclosures, which then resulted in a dip last Q3. So when we're comparing the Q3 of this year to Q3 of last year, it's actually not as bad as it seems because of that shift.
John, are there other economic factors that are playing into this, like unemployment, for example?
Well, that's the big elephant in the room. As long as you have high unemployment, and our unemployment is relatively high nationally, it's huge, you're going to see people unable to buy houses. But you have this coming out of this real estate bubble where people's net worth was so tied up into their houses. Americans need to understand that bubble is not coming back in our lifetimes. It's done. And we're going to have to reset from that.
What happens to the houses that go into foreclosure then for the people that have been owning them and then for the bank? How long are they tied up like that? Tim?
It seems like from what I've been seeing, a lot of these homes from the time, it's taking upwards of a year just for the bank to process the foreclosure from the time that people miss their first payment. And then even after the bank repossesses it, sometimes it's nearly a year before they even put it on the market. And then they can often sit on the market for months and months, you know, because these are not, you know, the most desirable homes that today's home buyers, what few there are really looking for.
John, how much of this in the Seattle area can we blame on the shady lending practices that we've heard so much about in other parts of the country?
Well, I bet that you could blame a lot of it, considering that one of the shady lenders was headquartered here. But we don't really know that. What I will say is that the bad paperwork, the swindles, the robo-signing has thrown a wrench into any kind of housing recovery and is going to make the foreclosure problem even greater. And another thing that is out there is the number of houses that are just going back to the bank. If you look at the outcomes in King County, the houses that are actually resold to somebody, they're just kind of flat. But the inventory of houses that are owned by banks just keep rising. This is true nationwide. That creates a shadow inventory that they can dump back on the market every time house prices seem to go up. And that's going to be with us for a long time.
What do you think about that, Tim, about the numbers for the future?
Yeah, I think that John's right. It doesn't seem like this is something that's going to work itself out in a short time frame or even in the next year. So I think it's something that's going to be with us for a good while now.
Do you think, Tim, that with the elections coming up next week, the midterm elections, and whatever Congress may decide to do to stimulate or not the economy, are those factors right now in this situation?
You know, that's definitely kind of the wild card as I see it in the really getting back to kind of what's a normal natural cycle. We were kind of on the way that the correction was actually proceeding in housing. The correction was proceeding, and then they jumped in with the stimulus and kind of put everything on hold in a lot of markets. And it's possible they may do something like that again. And if they do, I think that the result is just that it kind of draws out the process and kind of doesn't really change the end result, though.
John, any thoughts from you on that?
Well, we have taken on the biggest debt binge in the history of the world. And it's got to work itself out, as Tim says. And we've done a lot of things to keep it from working itself out. Usually, the only good thing about a recession is all the bad bets are worked out. And we haven't had that in the Great Recession. And the result being that we've still got this huge debt overhang all over the place with the foreclosure problems with the banks. We don't even know who owns what. And so this is going to hold back any kind of expansion.
John Talton is the economy columnist for the Seattle Times, and Tim Ellis runs the Seattle Bubble blog and tracks stats and trends for the real estate service Redfin. Thank you both for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.